Welcome to the Sean Stevenson Show. I'm Sean Stevenson, your host and professional speaking guide. You have a message to share, and I can teach you how to get it to millions. The Sean Stevenson Show, the best resource for building a lucrative speaking business and a fulfilling life. Enjoy the show. Hello, my friend. Behind closed doors, I am incredibly grateful for the event that I just attended. I attended an event called Genius Network Annual Event. It, as its name sounds, it takes place once a year, and it's a gathering of all the members plus people interested in the organization. And Genius Network was started by one of my mentors, Joe Polish. It is a group that teaches business and marketing strategies to everybody from lawyers to doctors to infopreneurs such as myself. And this one event is super special because Joe curates some of the best presenters on the planet. He brought in Tony Robbins, Peter Diamandis, Dan Sullivan. It was a long list of game changers in the entrepreneurial space, in the success and business space. He had a couple billionaires speak, one of the founders of Facebook speak. It was incredible. And the reason why I bring this up to you is that I want you to know that as a speaker, I am constantly putting myself into scenarios where I am a student. You know, I've seen people make the mistake of thinking they've made it. They got some success under their belt, and they stop taking notes, and they stop going to events, and they stop reading, and they stop getting coaching from mentors and advisors. And I think what that does is it causes you to get stagnant. And it also causes you not to know what's the leading edge information. What is the most recent information on your topic or on examples of people who are succeeding in your field? And I've learned a lot from making sure that I put myself in positions where I am the small fish in the room. Now, I'm not talking about my 3-foot size. I'm talking about the fact that when I go to events, I don't want to be the most successful person there. I don't want to be the smartest person there. I don't want to be the most connected person. I want to be at the bottom of the totem pole. So that means I need to work my way into events where people are light years ahead of me in information, in wealth creation, in network ability. Because there are plenty of events out in the world that I could go to and I would be the big deal. Oh, you're Sean Stevenson. You've got millions of views on your videos. You've been speaking for 23 years. I could find events where I felt good about myself because everybody wanted a piece of Sean or wanted to pick my brain or was inspired by me. But other than feeding my ego, what would that do for me? It would actually set me back. This is why I'm constantly joining groups or attending events where I feel like I kind of snuck in. Kind of like I can't believe they're allowing me in to this arena. And I recommend that for you. If you want to be successful, don't keep hanging out in places where you're the big deal, where everybody's clamoring for your information or your time and energy. You need to be going to events and introducing yourself to people that barely look at you in the beginning, don't really maybe know anything about you. Maybe you haven't even got on their radar, and that's okay. Your ego's not going to like it, but you're going to grow tremendously. You see, before I could afford the Genius Network dues, which are $25,000 a year, and this event I went to was $10,000 to attend. Before I could afford these rates, to attend programs like this and learn from these types of presenters, I actually relocated my business from Chicago, Illinois to Scottsdale, Arizona. I started in Phoenix, actually, because I couldn't afford Scottsdale when I moved. And when I moved to Phoenix, I chose that location for many reasons, but one of the greatest was I knew that Genius Network, Joe Polish's group, met there every month, and that's where they held their annual events. And I thought, you know, I can't afford to go right now, but maybe if I move to a closer location, I could utilize the concept proximity is power. And by moving closer to my mentor, Joe, and moving closer to where he houses his events, I could maybe meet up with people that were in town and take them out for coffee, or go to lunch, or attend a dinner, or see if there was anything social that was outside of the meeting that I could attend. I've even gone to events where I wasn't allowed in because I didn't register, but I stayed at the hotel, or when I was really broke, I didn't even stay there. I just went to the hotel lobby bar, hotel restaurant, and I just networked with people. Now, sometimes you get thrown out because they say this is just for those that should be attending the event, but most of the time, if you don't cause a ruckus and you add value and you're upbeat and enjoyable to be around, people will allow you in. Now, I'll tell you a story that was really challenging to my father back in the day. When I attended my first National Speaker Association convention, it was in Washington, D.C., and I somehow snuck my way into the Hall of Fame speaker, I think it was like a cocktail hour. And all these people were in tuxedos, and I think I was just in a collared shirt with a sport coat on, because that's all I could afford at the time. And my dad just kept saying, because he was traveling with me, "Sean, I don't think we're supposed to be in here." And I'm like, "Well, I don't know about that." Because I was thinking in my mind, well, someday they're going to have me be a member of this Hall of Fame group. So maybe I just need to get to know some people in advance. And yes, it was risky. Yes, I could have been thrown out. But I made enough friends with people while I was sneaking into this dinner or this cocktail hour that we had such a good time that now, well over a decade and a half later, I'm actually nominated right now for the National Speakers Association Hall of Fame. And you know, it's possible that this year or next year I get selected to be in that group. And even though it's taken well over a decade and a half to get on their radar professionally with getting my career to the level where they see me as a Hall of Fame speaker, by going into that cocktail hour, getting to know them, learning from them, making them laugh, it was like through the proximity I gained clarity. Through the proximity, I gained information. Through the proximity, I gained momentum and excitement about my career. And this is why, behind closed doors, I'm telling you, I am constantly seeing how I can get into places where I don't belong. Now, I know that's not proper to say, or maybe it's not I don't know, in your ethical realm of comfort, that's fine. But I'm letting you know, behind closed doors, I'm constantly seeing how I can get into places where I've yet to be invited, and I create so much value when I'm there, and I have so much fun, and I bring such joy while I'm there, that even when they find out that I don't belong, they don't mind. You know, you only get thrown out of places if you are disruptive, usually, if you are breaking into a place that maybe somebody had to pay to be there, so then that's a little different story than a meeting. But if you can get yourself to places where you are there to network well before you're even a member, that's going to give you a huge advantage in developing your career. Remember, you want to be around people that that inspire you. You want to be around people who have tremendous success. You want to be around people that know the information that you want to know. And the best way to do that is go where they are congregating. Go where they feel that they have a tribal meeting, and see how you can be accepted as soon as possible into that tribe. All right, I've been thinking. Today I was thinking about how if you're going to fail, and that's going to happen. You know, some people say, oh, failure is not an option. Well, maybe if you're SEAL Team 6 and you're taking on a mission that would cause the entire human race to perish if you don't get it right. Maybe if you're at that level of intensity, failure is not an option. However, for the rest of us, for those that are grounded in gravity and reality, you're going to fail quite a bit in life. And if you consider a failure just something not going your way, or a failure is you're not achieving the planned outcome that you wanted, that's going to happen a lot. So my concept that I was thinking about today is if you're going to fail at something, do so going for it. Now, what does that mean? Well, you gotta go for it. A lot of times what happens when we're achieving something or working on something, we see that it's not going to end well, or we see that we're going to lose the game, or that we're not going to get the deal, or whatever, and so what we do is we let off the accelerator. Why do we do that? Because then we can blame that we half-assed it. Then we can blame that, well, you know, I would have gotten it if I would have put more effort into it. But what about this? What about instead, no matter what the outcome is, you go for it until the last second? I watch a lot of basketball with Mindy, and I love the teams that are getting blown out, but they bring in their third string, and that third string plays their heart out. They try so hard to get that score up, and most of the time, they never get a chance. Most of the time, they finish with a blowout, but you get to see the raw talent of the new guy, and it's just good sportsmanship not to quit, not to let off the accelerator, to just keep going. And I want you to think about, where are you letting off the accelerator because maybe you feel like you're not going to get the outcome that you want? I'll tell you one of the things that I do, this could almost be behind closed doors segment, is I let off the accelerator the moment I get confused. I feel like I'm not smart enough to handle something. Maybe I'm learning new software or taking on a new concept in business. If I get overwhelmed or confused, I just kind of lay off the accelerator, so then that way I don't have to feel dumb. I can act like, oh, well, it's because I didn't try hard enough. And it's so tempting in life to blame your lack of care and attention and pursuit than to say, you know what, I just didn't understand it. Or I ran out of time. Or I ran out of money. Or whatever the real reason might be. Sometimes it's good to just swallow the truth and go, wow, okay, but at least I went for it until the buzzer sounded. And that's what I want to know. Are you going for it? You know, it doesn't matter what the outcome is. The question is, are you going for it? Because you don't always get to control the outcome in life. You know, I have put out brochures. Early in my career, I did a lot of mass mailing, and I would put together postcards or brochures and mail it out to schools, both junior high, well, even grade school, junior high school, and colleges. And I'd mail out thousands of pieces, and I'd get many of them mailed back because the address I had on the list was outdated, or people would let me know they weren't interested, and there was a lot of time where I was getting rejected in those mailing experiences. But it didn't matter because I said, I'm going to go for this. And I followed up and I made calls and I got meetings with some principals and associate principals and all the different activity directors all the way down. And many of them said, we're not interested in the speaker, but some said, oh yeah, I got your brochure. I got your postcard. Tell me more about your talk. And this was before the day of Skype and FaceTime, but I did my best. I went for it. And even after sometimes talking to these people, I still didn't get the gig. But that's okay, because I went for it. Because I want you to know that you can't control the outcome always, but you can always control the process. Did you make the call? Did you send the mailer? Did you make the video? Did you do the blog post? Did you talk to the person? Did you ask for the sale? I want you to fail going for it, because sometimes you won't fail. Sometimes by going for it, even if you fail on that first attempt, 5 weeks, months, or years later, they come back and they hire you. As I talked about in a previous episode with that apparel company, that sports apparel company, passed on me the first time, but then a long while later, they actually came back and worked with me. See, if I would have ended in a huff, if I wouldn't have gone for it, if I wouldn't have pushed in that series of meetings and put together a really good business plan, if I would have let out the accelerator, I would have never gotten the opportunity. The best metaphor that I heard is from a speaker named Bo Eason. He has a great one-man show. And Bo talks about how some of the greatest linebackers in history you never heard of. You never heard of because they would speed up at the moment of impacting a receiver or a quarterback or a running back, whoever had the ball. They would hit them with such intensity that it would knock that person out. Whereas a lot of people would slow down. They would just ease off the accelerator a little bit. And so what I want you to know is, don't let off the accelerator. Push that extra tiny bit right before the outcome is clear. Because sometimes you're going to hit, you're going to make that contact, and it's going to have an incredible result. And sometimes it's not going to go anywhere. But you will know that you won at the process. You can't control the outcome, but you can always control whether or not you initiated the process. As for our lucrative speaker tip, I'm going to teach you how to create an endless supply of content. As speakers and content providers, we are constantly asked to create new material. We're constantly asked to create new speeches, new podcasts, new blog posts, new videos. We have a desire as content creators for content. Where do we find content? Well, I'm going to tell you, content is everywhere. Write that down if you have something to write it down with. Content is everywhere. Content is in our day-to-day life. Things that you think are not that special or important, actually, if you look at it deeply, you can find value to nearly everything. And one of the things that I do for creating content is I ask myself, what do I need to hear? Or what am I studying these days? Or what am I drawn to? See, enthusiasm is contagious. If you need to hear something, you can speak directly from your heart to your own ears, and it's going to come across as genuine. If you are excited about studying a new concept, a new way of being, a new system, if you're drawn to something, it's going to show up in your language patterns. You're going to inspire your listener. Content is everywhere. Share what you need to hear, what you're studying, or what you're drawn to, and you'll never run out of content. All right, my friend, let's continue this dialogue on my Facebook group. Go to facebook.com/groups/ lucrative speaker. Go ahead and join that group and have a dialogue with me. I want to know what's important to you to hear on this podcast. What questions do you have and how can I best serve you? In that group, I make sure to put out all kinds of fun bonus material videos. I interact on comments, and we go real deep on how to be a lucrative speaker. I'll see you there. Thanks for listening to this episode. Make sure and subscribe to The Sean Stevenson Show on iTunes and leave a review of the podcast. For more information and further conversation, head on over to our Facebook group, Lucrative Speaker. I'm Sean Stevenson, your professional speaking guide. I'll catch you next time on The Sean Stevenson Show. You've got a message. Let's get it to millions.